All at Once, 55th Venice Biennale, 2013.
Hello, how did you get here?
So, my name is Stefanos Tsifopoulos. I'm representing Greece in the 55th Venice Biennale.
Born in 1973, Stefanos Tsifopoulos lives and works in Amsterdam and Athens. In his practice, he's mainly concerned with the politics of memory and its narrative constructions between reality and fiction, with the remediation of history, with time.
The project is called History Zero. It consists of a film in three episodes and an archive of 32 examples of alternative currencies and economies from around the world, both from our times but also historically.
Jack Medlem's Bank, Sweden. Its main purpose is banking with no interest. Began in 1975, after a concern with the negative social impact of interest, it developed throughout the 70s an interest-free saving and loan system.
History Zero talks about now, but it refers to history. And for me, history, because it's been a constant theme in my works, I felt like, even though I'm looking at it always, trying to find new inspiration or new ways to interpret our current times through history, I thought that, you know, maybe there is no reason anymore to do it. Maybe history somehow is stagnant. Maybe history, it's also in a point zero. Maybe history is also in a crisis. And I felt that History Zero, somehow the title suggests that there is a pause in history. There is a moment where the future, but also the past, stops, or they create this moment of contemplation. So History Zero suggests the pause of history and a moment of contemplation about where to go next.
In 1992, Francis Fukuyama initiated a long cultural debate with his book The End of History, in which he theorized that human history had come to an end in the frame of the liberal democracy form of government that seemed to satisfy the desire for identity recognition and for development. In these terms, the end of history is contradictory both to what's happening, historically speaking, and to the premises themselves of History Zero.
Yes, it is completely the opposite. It's not about the end of history. It is about the reinvention of our future. And I think there is no future without our history, of course. For me, generally, I think time is something that contains everything, all different tenses at the same time. You know, time is, if it somehow it spills over in the future and in the past at the same time as we speak. And this idea, it creates a kind of a visual element, which is this circle where it contains all these different moments of time. So it becomes a kind of a symbol, not only for the experience of time, but also a symbol for the experience of how we interact with our lives and how we project our lives in the future and what we think in the future.
And what kind of present are we historicizing? What image of the present are we transmitting to the future generations? And what imaginary of the past will they be fed with?
I think at the moment, as an artist, but also as a person, I felt at a certain point that I hit the wall. And this made me feel a little bit like the same way when the camera is on automatic zoom and is trying to focus on a flat wall. It's so difficult. You know, it goes back and forth all the time. So I felt a little bit the same as a person. I felt like I was going back and forth to kind of refocus again about what am I seeing, what am I negotiating, what is actually that is at stake, and where all this thing is going. I don't think there is a clear answer about what we're actually trying to do for the future, and perhaps maybe this is also irrelevant. I think perhaps for the first time we stopped thinking so much about what it was and what it could be, but it's more about how are we dealing with what we have now. So I think there is an urgency and an agency to this project and generally to this idea of trying to, with my work, to reestablish an urgency with what has to be done. And I think this is not a suggestion. It's mainly my feeling about the situation. I see people increase becoming more and more bound to the present, bound to what they have to do every day to come in terms with their families, with their friends. They don't seem to be so much in haste about their future or even about their past. They feel very betrayed, that there's no trust, there's no hope, you know, there's no hope for the future. So at the moment, this is also in a way, in the beginning was very hard, but now I think it becomes also a little bit liberating. You know, when you feel like you reach the bottom of things, then also you don't have necessarily to try for something new or for something different. But perhaps this is also the most interesting condition, that, you know, the human nature or the human condition itself somehow finds ways to react to that. What I see as a reaction happening in the Greek society, it's that people started coming together more, organizing communities, you know, they're organizing common projects. There's more coherence with each other. They have the same problems. You know, somehow the crisis of value, the crisis of money, the fact that we lack money and that supposedly makes our lives more difficult to live them, at the same time lifted the kind of barriers that we had with each other. So, you know, the crisis brought people together. And for me, that was also an observation that I had back a year ago when I first thought about the project. And the suggestion or the idea of starting more into researching into all these archives about the alternative economies, it was because of that. Because in Greece, there are a lot of such small communities that they are trying to take their destiny in their own hands, not expect anybody to tell them anymore what to do or to come with any mega plans, you know, but instead of that, just live the now, live within the means of who you are and what the society can do. And I think it's a wonderful thing.
Lending libraries. A library is where one can borrow books. However, there are other types of libraries that are less familiar, but rapidly growing. Seeds libraries are organizations where either members meet and exchange seeds, or members bring seeds out of the library, grow them, save the seeds from their crop, and return some of them to the library. Tool lending libraries are another type, with the idea that tools bring value to the entire community when everybody has access to them and no one needs to own them. A broadening interest in the expansion of the idea of the commons goods and resource is expressed by the growth of this activity. In parallel, an art collector suffering from dementia makes origami flowers with banknotes and throws them in a rubbish bin eventually. A young immigrant from Africa collects scrap metal, and an artist collects images and records the streets of Athens through the lens of an iPod. They leave their apparently distant atomic leaves, playing though the distorted relation between art and money, with unpredictable results.
They're exchanging value. They're in a sort of mutual exchange without knowing it. So there is a circle. So these values are constantly exchanged, but it takes different shapes and different meanings. So you can say that the trolley cart, which costs nothing, it looks as if it's nothing, through the hands of an artist can easily become an artwork which can be sold for millions of dollars or euros to an art collector. And at the same time, an art collector can generate or devalue money in any way. A rich person can devalue money at the same time. Perhaps, you know, this putting money in art is also devaluing money. Who knows? So there are a lot of notions about value that is contested within the work, you know? So it's not one thing to say this is what it is or this is what is not, you know? I think it's far more complicated. And, you know, I'm also touching a subject that through a poetical way and more philosophical way, it's more hard to tackle because the notions that they're generated through this, let's say, peaceful or quiet or hidden exchange of value between these three individuals, it's so difficult to grasp in one go. So, but for me, this is what it is. This is how it works. This is how the system works. What is garbage for someone else is not garbage, and this garbage can be, you know, regenerated and recycled. So it's a recycle of value that it takes different forms all the time. But this is an example for the world. This is how the world works. You know, we're all interconnected. The actions of an old demented woman may have incredible effects on the lives of, you never know. And the same goes for an African immigrant. The same goes for the artist. I think, you know, I mean, this is also for me the beauty of things, you know, that there is a greater power there which somehow dictates things than we can think of, you know. I think we're really too small in order to understand. And what also we're going through now with the crisis is part of a greater plan, which, you know, it will take more time to understand it. I mean, we have to understand that history, it can only be interpreted with terms of macro time, you know, not with micro time. And now we're experiencing all this through the lens of our small perceptions. But I think there's something greater there. And, you know, it will take more time to understand the effects of the crisis and what does this crisis mean for Greece, but also or for the whole Europe. But what is important is not to lose ourselves, not to lose our identity or our motivation. It is important to see through this crisis a great opportunity also for the Greek society to change what is wrong or to inspire a new generation of people. And Greece can become an incredible example for the whole Europe or the whole world. I mean, we can definitely come out of this crisis much stronger. And I think instead of the word hope, I don't like the word hope so much. It doesn't express completely what I think about the way we should, or it would be wonderful to deal with our lives. For me, what is a better word is vision. I'm talking a lot about this vision of things, or being able to be in a position where you can see the things from a completely different view. And also History Zero, it is this area, it is this place, the zero place, where it offers a different view on the things. So, but for me, this vision and this view, it shouldn't be any more directed outwards. It should be directed inwards. So we have to have a new vision within ourselves. It's not about the vision outside ourselves. You know, then we're going to be able to change things from inside. So, and that's why I'm very, very happy and very excited with all these incredible stories that I found from around the world, how people come together, you know, because they believe in something very strongly. And then this belief that it starts with one person and then with two and more and more and more and more, that it can form a community, it can form, you know, a movement, it can form a new way of dealing with our lives. I think we shouldn't, one thing that I'm really having problems with in the end, this idea of mega structures, like mega economies, mega currencies, you know, mega projects. I think we should start again from the micro, yeah, and then we'll see where it takes us.
Sawakaya Welfare Foundation, founded in 1991, Japan. It created a time-based currency called Furei Kippu to help families assisting distant old relatives in their daily activities. In a society that places a great moral responsibility on taking care of the family members, volunteers can gain credits assisting the seniors living next door and securing assistance to their own relatives by other volunteers. This conversation was recorded in Venice at the Giardini della Biennale on May 31st, 2013. It's a production by Radio Papesse.